Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Solar power has gone from being a niche technology to one of the fastest growing parts of Ireland's energy landscape. But as the sector expands, there are big questions around investment, grid capacity, planning, and whether Ireland has the infrastructure needed to make the most of this renewable resource. So we're going to look at the future of solar in Ireland. I'm delighted to be joined by three people working across the industry in the form of Morgan Pearce. She's the CEO of Solar Smart. They're involved in rooftop solar. Declan Cullinan is the Managing Director of Amarenco in Ireland. And Justin Brown is the CEO and co-founder of Power Capital Renewable Energy. So you're all very welcome to the programme. Morgan, I know for you from a previous life, but I believe you've been involved in the solar business for what, 6 or 7 years now?
Yeah, I started Solar Smart in 2020, just when the rooftop solar business was sort of getting off the ground. The SEAI grant had been in play for about 2 years, and it was absolutely the right time to get into the business. And we are now 65 people. We've installed more than 2,200 rooftop systems, about 30% commercial, 70% residential.
Okay.
And yeah, it's been great.
And if we look, Morgan, at, you say that from fewer than 10,000 residential solar installations in 2020 to 190,000 today, this has been a serious growth over the last 6 years.
It is, but we're still only scratching the surface of what rooftop can do, because the government has, I think, a goal of 1 million homes to have solar energy by 2030, and we're only about 20% of that now, and we're only three years away. So there's a lot of work to be done.
And can I ask you, what do you believe has driven the growth, in the sense that even though it's well short of government targets, but why have so many people embraced it?
I think initially it was because there was a grant available for early adopters. That was pretty obvious. But then what happens is you get an app when you have a solar system, and then you start showing your friends your app, how much energy you're making, how much money you're making by selling out to the grid.
Is that what we do now? Instead of sitting around having a glass of wine, we take out the solar energy app.
Exactly. And I think in 2026, it sort of hit critical mass where everybody knew 3 or 5 people that had solar at that point. And so it's like everybody's saving so much money. The cat's out of the bag, as they say.
All right. Well, let's talk to Justin Brown. He's the CEO and co-founder of Power Capital Renewable Energy. Justin, you're very welcome to the program. Maybe just tell us a little bit about your own business and what your role in solar actually is.
Yeah, sure, Bobby. Thanks for having me on. So, we're a renewable energy IPP, so we're an independent power producer. So what that means is we develop, we construct, we own and operate a range of renewable energy assets, and we sell our energy into the market. So the business is kind of 15 years in operation this year. So September is kind of our 15-year anniversary. We started developing projects in Ireland in about 2014. Before that, we were doing some stuff over in Germany where we built a few projects. Divested from those and came back because we could see the opportunity for our sector to kind of grow. So we started developing projects here in Ireland in 2014. To date, we've about 600 megawatts, just shy of 600 megawatts in operation.
So what does that mean in layman's terms?
Well, yesterday, I think, we had a great sunny day yesterday. So at some point in the afternoon, we were producing about 7% of Ireland's energy demand.
Okay.
From the projects that we have. So,
and when you say projects, does this mean fields of power?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And so, what sort of size and scale are those?
Well, so we have projects that are kind of ranging from maybe kind of 30 acres all the way up to kind of a couple of hundred acres. So projects, let's say we've got some stuff from County Louth, which would be kind of 5-6 megawatt. That'd be kind of 30, 40 acres, give or take. And then we've got some stuff kind of bigger than that in Wexford and Cork and Galway. So we're developing across a bunch.
Okay.
Of
and maybe all the projects are different, but how does that work with the farmer? Or
well, it works really, really well. Like, farmers are always looking to diversify their income, and a lot of what we do can sit side by side with agriculture. So if you kind of take, let's say, for example, one of our projects down in Cork, We have a very active farmer down there. We see the sheep are out every day, you know, grazing. And not only that, on a sunny day like we were having at the minute, the sheep actually love kind of getting in underneath the solar panels because it gives them a bit of protection from the sun. So it works very well. We get a lot of good responses. We've got some good stories coming back from all the landowners that we engage with.
Okay, interesting enough. Our third guest is Declan Cullinan. Declan, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby.
You're the Managing Director of Amarenco Ireland. Again, remind us of what you do.
Sure. We are the competition to Justin, I guess, in one sense. So we're industry colleagues.
The competitors.
We're industry colleagues. We're very much lobbying in the same area. But we are an IPP as well. We are a developer of projects from grassroots through to construction and operation, you know, backed by a mix of private equity and institutional capital that would serve for long-term pension funds. You know, so we develop solar projects, storage projects. We have a number of projects in Ireland, France, Austria, Spain.
Yeah.
And a big part of that is battery storage, which is the new area of growth, really.
I want to come to that in a second. Tell me first about Ireland's climate and its suitability for solar projects. Like, anecdotally, I can tell you that from driving across the country, I now see fields of panels that I would never have seen 10 years ago.
So, exactly, yeah.
So clearly there's been massive growth in the sector. But, you know, if we compare Ireland to somewhere like Spain and other operators, I know you're involved in other overseas, is the availability of the sun an issue in Ireland?
No, I think it helps, of course, for irradiance in terms of power production. But, you know, cloudy days, it still produces, albeit a slightly lower percentage. But if you look at our position on the map, you know, we draw a line across from us to the south of England through to as far as Latvia. You know, you have that line where we have substantial solar irradiant, which is similar all along the way. What has dramatically changed through the last 10, 12, 15 years is technology and the cost of panels as well. You know, we were remarking outside with Pat Kenny earlier on that doing PV 10, 15 years ago would be unheard of because of the cost, but it's substantially reduced now. And that's translated directly through to the larger scale projects as well, where the cost per kilowatt, I guess, as we work off, has come down to such a point now where the cell efficiency is also increased and the production of has it increased. The physical size of the panels has remained. So you're getting the same physical footprint, but a higher power density. So you're just getting more and more out of that. Ireland's climate, yes, we're not as sunny as Spain or south of France, but we have a sufficient level to make projects work here.
Okay.
And as well, it's through some of the government initiatives of the RES auctions that helped that as well.
I was going to ask you about battery storage, so I may as well ask you now. Tell me about that and how different is that in terms of when we're talking solar energy, or is it?
It's a game changer, really, because it has to be done. We see not only on a utility scale, but like say with Morgan on a domestic level, it has to be done as well, because the amount of energy we have on our rooftops that we need to store in energy and then use for EV cars or our usage as well, that's one part of it.
So what's happening is that energy is being wasted because we don't have the ability to store energy.
Or use it fully. And a big, big part of this, and Justin and I will be very much the same alignment here, is that battery storage, when it comes to our field in terms of utility scale, It has to happen in large formats and large scale, 100 megawatts of scale of battery, the projects, because the infrastructure with Airgrid at the moment needs substantial investment. And Airgrid are looking to industry, looking to us to deliver that, to ensure that we can prolong their investment or maybe the infrastructure that's available at the moment. So it's a big, big part where if the revenue streams can be more concrete and more bankable for us, we can deliver massive amounts of battery storage that will help the industry and help the market in general. Pass to Justin, because Justin has substantial issues with it at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, like, battery is just not a solar, you know, game changer. It's going to be for wind as well. I mean, what we're seeing at the moment is wind projects, solar projects, you know, are getting dispatched down because there's just too much power on the system at one particular point in time. But you also see then that the interconnectors in the UK, we're still importing a huge amount of power from that. So what we actually need to do if we want to get to 80% penetration of renewables is you need to kind of have a way to store that power. So
okay.
whether it's wind power, whether it's solar power, when you've got less demand on the system and you have an oversupply of renewables, what you need to do is actually store that somewhere. Yeah. So you've got flexible,
And you're talking both commercially and domestically here?
Oh, well,
or is domestically a more difficult challenge?
No, I don't think so. Maybe Morgan might speak to that a bit more. But at the end of the day, it's all about your time of use of your power. So, you know, if you're storing power when you're not at home during the day from your solar system, you can come in and kind of turn the kettle on in the evening and kind of take that power from your battery. But even more so on the kind of commercial scale, the large scale projects, whether it's wind or solar, if we can kind of store the power that's not being used or has been dispatched down from the grid and kind of use that at a later stage in the day or a later stage in the evening, that gives us, you know, a much greater use of our renewable energy fleet, but also will give us much more energy security because we're seeing that as a big issue now. I mean, it used to be about kind of taking hydrocarbons out of the electricity system, but now actually transitioning to renewables is kind of an energy security point now as much as it is anything
else. Well, that's a point I was going to put to you, Morgan, is that today's consumer, you know, initially your customer might have been there with a green agenda first and a cost agenda that was secondary. But now, is it now about, you know, I'm in this, okay, I want to be green, but I want to save some money here.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things. First of all, you can put a domestic rooftop solar system and even a small commercial one in just a matter of days. You don't need planning permission. You can literally tell me I want a solar system tomorrow and I can have it on your roof. So a normal residential install takes a day. And then, so all of a sudden you're making electricity on your roof. If you have a battery storage system, you save the excess that you're making that you're not using. You use that at night. But the other thing that you can do with a battery storage system is in the wintertime, when the solar system isn't producing as much electricity, you can fill your battery on night rate electricity at night, again, pulling electricity off of the grid, which strengthens the grid. A lot of residential customers think of it that way. And then you can use that to power your home the following day. So with a properly designed residential system, you can eliminate your electricity bill from March to October, and you can cut your electricity bill from November to February in half.
Okay, but how does that pay out in terms of the capital investment? So if I'm a domestic user who's considering going solar, how many years does it take me to get my money back?
Somewhere between 5 and 7 if the system is designed correctly using the parameters of your usage and your consumption patterns.
Okay. So that means as well, and has that improved, Morgan? Has it got better?
It has, because the cost has come down. Now, this year, the costs have gone up a little bit because there have been some supply issues, of course, across the world. But for the most part, it is less expensive to put in. And for commercial rooftop solar, the payback period is usually somewhere between 2 and 3 years.
Yeah.
It's very attractive.
Declan, can I ask you about some of the challenges to growth here around planning, around access to the grid? We're hearing that maybe some investment has been scared away from Ireland because of some of these bureaucratical type of challenges. Is that your experience?
Definitely. I think we so over the last 12, 24 months, a big shift in policy. So the RED III directive, European policy, to ensure that all projects would have a planning commission, a grid offer in hand within a 2-year period. And we'd welcome that because that allows us just to really move forward. That's not the end, though. The end is actually getting it on the bars, getting it connected. And that's the real challenge we're seeing at the moment, is the physically on the ground.
So you've got
delivery.
Two challenges. Firstly, with planning and all that's with there. And then after you get through that, there's this access to the grid.
It is. When you sign that connection offer for some of the larger projects that Justin and I will be looking at, you know, so when you sign your connection offer, you're 4 years away from getting connected.
It's a long time, isn't it?
It's a long time. A lot can change in that period of time. You've locked in a lot of your costs in terms of your OPEX with some of your commitments to Airgrid, but you have a lot of moving parts then in terms of the actual delivery of that project itself. So policy, on planning, on grid, you know, it's a big, big part from a perspective of my other hat, I guess, of the chair of the board of Solar Ireland, is we have to keep on pushing, have to keep on evolving, have to keep on improving. The planning legislation currently is improving, but we're seeing the bar to objection needs to be raised. Yeah. You know, these are critical projects.
Is that your experience, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, if we focus in on the grid, I mean, the private sector, private developers like ourselves and Amarenco, are we're going out and we're actually doing those reinforcements on the grid. So actually, it's companies like us that are building the substations, we're building the kind of, you know, 110 loop ins, all the various different things that you need to connect a project to the grid. The real issue is about air grid and ESB is in terms of the resource of commissioners. So we're actually going out, we build the asset, we build the substation, and we hand the keys over to AirGrid and ESB. But what we really need to have is those commissioners coming to site, connecting those projects in a timely manner. Like right now, I've got projects that are kind of sitting there since kind of April, waiting to be connected to the grid, where we could be injecting power into kind of North County Dublin right now. But because we don't have commissioners
on site. Very frustrating.
It is a bit frustrating.
I'll read out a text that's just come in. Bobby, interesting topic on solar. I just installed home panels and I'm very, very happy. You'll be glad to hear that, Morgan. However, we lack a government-led strategy, which is resulting in companies installing fields of panels in prime agricultural land, disrupting farming and communities. Plenty of locations with lower-grade land suitable for solar farms, providing income to farmers who are otherwise struggling. I don't know if anybody wants to take that on.
I'm happy to take that on. And it's an argument we address every day of the week, Bobby. The texter is correct in one sense that there is similar opportunities of a lower grade land to use. The problem is there's no grid infrastructure. Yeah. There's no demand in area. And you cannot physically connect any of the assets to that. We could build a project over near Ballycorrick, over in Mayo, that direction, where you're going to spend 20, 30, 40, 50 million on a grid cable, disrupting the whole road back to try and connect it in somewhere. And it's just not going to work. So the grid infrastructure is your primary issue all the time.
So it's where the grid infrastructure actually is, being close to that is the most practical place to be.
And the further away,
the other issues.
The further away we are from that increases the cost of energy.
Yeah.
It just loads more costs onto the project.
But I think there's maybe even a broader point to that as well. I mean, if you look at the government's target to get to 8 gigawatt of solar by 2030, and you kind of quantify the amount of agricultural land that's required for that, I mean, it's less than 1% of agricultural land that's going to be needed to reach that sort of target by 2030. So in the overall schemes of things, it's a small percentage of the land. Look, obviously, you're going to get pushback and people are going to be disappointed in terms of development. But at the end of the day, we have targets to get to, big penalties if we don't do it.
Well, look, it's been a very, very interesting discussion. The sun is shining out there and all our solar operators appear very happy here in the studio. I want to thank my guests, Morgan Pearce, from the CEO of Solar Smart, Declan Cullinan from Amarenco, and Justin Brown from Power Capital. Thanks for letting us into your world.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr. Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.